Hello and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ife Sinachi Okafor-Yawood and I'm recording from Pittenweem in Scotland. Today, I'm going to be the host and the guest. I am the guest today because I really have something I'd like to get off my chest. And that is the politicization of unsustainable fisheries practices on the African continent. I felt that this reflection is very important because of what I have seen as the Chinalization of unsustainable fisheries practices on the continent. In the last 5 years or so, there has been so many articles, so many conferences, so many talks, so many videos, things that are linked to how China is contributing to the plunder of fisheries resources on the African continent and by extension undermining the food and economic security of coastal states in Africa and their peoples. Whilst this is true, I'm reflecting on this with this podcast to show that China are not the only culprits. China are not the only perpetrators. As such, if we focus on a narrow or providing a narrow perspective, it is quite dangerous, misguiding, and makes it even more difficult for a lot of the policymakers and policy implementers on the African continent, many of whom do not have the right tools to make their decision, to be able to do their work effectively, even if they wanted to. I'm going to use three different examples to illustrate why and how China are not the only perpetrators, and why also even the activities of the companies that are linked to China have been successful and for a long time will continue because there are other entities from within the European Union or Europe that are facilitating some of these practices we see as unsustainable through their business dealings with the companies that are linked to China. One of the examples would be through beneficial ownership and illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing by EU vessels that have sustainable fisheries partnership agreement with countries on the African continent. And the third would be by sharing examples of how subsidies are contributing to the plunder and how, of course, subsidies that are given to EU vessels are also contributing to unsustainable practices on the African continent. And finally, the fish meal industry and how EU companies and European companies are more or less driving some of the unsustainable practices that has been linked to fish meal industries operating specifically in West Africa, in countries like Mauritania, Senegal, and the Gambia. Starting with beneficial ownership. Beneficial ownership is simply defined, or should I say, a beneficial owner is more or less captured by the fact that the benefit accrued from a company or from a business is spent somewhere else, even though the basic operations of that company is done elsewhere. So in this instance, there are many companies or entities that are classed as beneficial owners because they have high stakes on fisheries, industries, or vessels operating in the African continent, but the benefit accrued from their operation goes elsewhere, you know, where those investors are based. For some countries on the African continent, such as Angola, joint ventures is one of the examples of how they feel that, you know, it is more beneficial for us to have joint ventures, encourage companies to work with others, encourage investors to come to our countries and invest and work with our companies as a way of ensuring that the benefit accrued at least circulates, is spent in our country. It contributes to employment, for instance. But this is not always the case, because in many instances, companies that are linked to China, that are linked to South Korea, that are linked to Europe, specifically Spain, for instance, that are linked to Russia, have engaged in joint ventures, but the benefit have almost always not been spent in these countries. In countries like Senegal, Cameroon, and Angola, where there's a lot of joint ventures. In a country like Ghana, this is where sort of there's the gray area, because Ghana does not officially allow foreign companies to have stake in foreign in vessels operating in their waters. The law stipulates that industrial vessels operating in Ghana must be owned by Ghanaians. As such, whilst the evidence presented when it comes to registration obviously shows that they are Ghanaians because Ghanaian owners are flaunted. In fact, a lot of the fisheries vessels are said to have links to companies in Asia, specifically China, predominantly, and then South Korea. And so this is just some of the few examples of how either joint ventures can lead to beneficial ownership, especially when this process is not done transparently, or even how beneficial ownership, when it's done secretly, you know, when the law doesn't allow it, can be detrimental. And more specifically, especially when these vessels and the activities are not transparent in terms of how the money or benefit accrued from their operations are spent, where those money are spent, or even who the owners are. Because it means that when those vessels are linked to illegal activities, you don't necessarily know who to prosecute in this instance. The second example of how vessels outside China, vessels that are linked to the European Union, are contributing to unsustainable practices on the African continent is through illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. So despite the fact that the EU, through its common fisheries policies, have really done a lot to improve transparency, to also ensure sustainable fishing activities by vessels from their nations when they are operating in third countries, the evidence on the ground shows that it is not always the case that EU vessels are operating, one, transparently, and two, are engaging only on legal activities or illegal activities. And sometimes when the EU are made aware of this, they tend to abrogate responsibility, stating that it is the responsibility of the countries where these vessels operate to ensure that they monitor and control their activities. And in trying to ensure or hold these countries responsible, the EU also have this carding system where they can issue a country with a yellow card, which means a warning, you know, you need to improve your fisheries governance or we will ban you from bringing your fisheries resources in our countries. And obviously for this to happen, it means they'll give you a red card. And when you improve as a country, they'll give you a green card to show improvement. And so many countries on the African continent have received a yellow card, with a few countries, or a red card, with a few other countries currently with such cards. A country like Ghana, for example, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Cameroon, they all are countries in West and Central Africa, the Gulf of Guinea, and they all have different types of EU, or have been carded by the EU as a way of showing that they need to improve their fisheries governance. But then this does not automatically mean that the EU holds their own vessels accountable or the EU vessels behave responsibly when they operate in African waters. A 2023 research by the Coalition for Fairer Fisheries Agreement noted that vessels from the Latvian company Baltrades, which is fishing under the Sustainable Fisheries Partnership Agreement with Mauritania, has been fishing illegally, specifically in coastal areas or inshore areas that are reserved for artisanal fisheries in that country. They also noted that vessels from Italy, these are vessels that have or that are known as multiple offenders due to the many times they have been caught in waters of different countries, such as Sierra Leone, for example, were caught again in an illegal operation in the Gambia. And a lot of the times they pick on these countries that really have weak governance, specifically limited monitoring, surveillance and control mechanism. And they then, when they are challenged by either NGOs that are campaigning for transparency in fisheries, they more or less say, well, it's either difficult to delineate whether such vessels were engaging in illegal activity due to lack of clear delineation of the ocean borders, as if we're literally going to put a fence on the wall for us to know when a vessel is coming. Okay, you are now going into the inshore areas, you cannot go there. Which is actually an argument that has been made by DG Mare in relation to a case in Sierra Leone. What they are forgetting, however, is that such pronouncements set the precedent. Because if countries in the EU can do such a thing and an entity like DG Mare can make such pronouncement, it means that another country, let's say China or South Korea, could also use a similar argument, because it is quite grey. I mean, it's a grey area a lot of the times when you're saying that a vessel that is legally licensed to operate in a country has been engaging in illegal or unreported fishing because they are encroaching in inshore areas. Because sometimes those lines are blurred. It's not clear. And so can we then use ignorance as an excuse for flaunting the law? I mean, this is obviously a conversation you should have with yourself. I'm just merely stating this fact and just to use it as a way of reflecting why we should not politicize unsustainable fisheries practices on the African continent and why we must focus on ensuring that our law enforcement agencies and our fisheries officers are empowered, and that as a continent, we have the right laws to ensure that our waters are governed and protected so that criminal-minded vessels would not take advantage of it. Now I want to move on to subsidies and how subsidies is contributing to unsustainable fisheries practices and how, of course, China is not the only culprit here. According to a research, a 2021 research by Oceana, the top 10 countries for given fisheries subsidies includes China, Japan, Korea, Russia, Thailand, Taiwan, Spain, Indonesia, and Norway. And on the African continent, these subsidies, specifically harmful subsidies, encourages the overexploitation of already depleted fish stock, such as certain species of tuna and other pelagic fish or decimal species. Species, for example, like Sardinella, Bonga fish are quite important species in country in West African countries, but these are also severely depleted. But these have not exempted it from being targeted by foreign vessels or vessels from distant water nations. And this have been enabled by the subsidies they receive from their government. According to this report by Oceana, in Africa, catch by distant water vessels are greater than those of domestic fleets. And essentially, fleets might not have been profitable without fisheries subsidies and unfettered access to waters of other nations, including those on the African continent. The report also noted that the EU, as of 2018, provided $2 billion in subsidies, which would make the entity the world's largest provider of harmful subsidy. And it gets worse. Just to show you, you know, how harmful subsidy has really been undermining sustainable fisheries practices on the continent. And this is general, it's not specific to EU vessels, for instance, or Chinese vessels. Rather, it is specific to all the foreign vessels operating on the continent and how their subsidies are compared to either what the domestic vessels get and how it's quite harmful. So, in writing about subsidies ratio to the ratio of subsidy foreign to domestic, in a country like Guinea-Bissau, for instance, the Oceana report noted that the foreign to domestic ratio of subsidy is 1,173 to 1. And then when it comes to foreign subsidies as a percentage of foreign catch in Guinea-Bissau, it is 42%. That is a lot. I know Guinea-Bissau have issues with political instability, but in recent times, they're also making strong effort to improve fisheries governance. And interestingly, tends to support from the European Union. So, which is why sometimes it's quite interesting to know that those that seem to know the right things to do, their vessels are also the ones not doing the right thing. However, this narrative is not always out there because of, I don't know what I have termed now in this podcast, the politicization of unsustainable practices on the African continent, because one side wants to be centered to then present the other side as, you know, as clean, as transparent, as doing the right thing, when the evidence shows that this is not often the case. In Sierra Leone, the ratio, the subsidy ratio foreign to domestic is 10 to 1, which is significantly lower compared to Guinea-Bissau. And then when it comes to foreign subsidies as a percentage of foreign catch, it is 27%. In Guinea, the subsidies ratio foreign to domestic is 7 to 1, also lower. But the foreign subsidies as a percentage of foreign catch is 42%. In DRC, the ratio is 11 to 1. However, the foreign subsidies as a percentage of foreign catch is 46%. This is the highest for the four countries I've cited so far, which happens to be countries in Western Central Africa or the Gulf of Guinea. Of course, the report also sort of highlights other examples from the African continent, but I'm centering on this ones because this is an area that I'm more familiar with based on the research on oceans governance and maritime security that I've been doing for a while now. And so the percentage of foreign subsidies as a percentage of foreign catch tells us that without these subsidies, the activities of the vessels operating on the African continent would have been non-profitable. I mean, there wouldn't have been even any point for them to come all that way without the subsidies. And it tells you why the subsidies sometimes might not be necessary, especially when the species that are targeted are already overexploited or depleted. And also in particular, especially when we're talking about risk to food security, when we're talking about threats to economic security. And as research has shown, when we're also increasingly seeing the link between deprivation, poverty, hopelessness, and insecurity in a lot of these coastal areas. Finally, my last example of how unsustainable practices is not necessarily something that is restricted to China, entities from China or companies that are linked to China, but how the activities or companies that are in Europe or in the European Union are actually enabling or facilitating the unsustainable practices of those Chinese companies. And this is shown with the example from the fish meal industry, primarily in West Africa. A 2021 report by Greenpeace noted that more than 500,000 tons of small pelagic fish are extracted each year from West Africa and converted into feed for aquaculture and agricultural farming, dietary supplements, cosmetics, and pet food products outside Africa, with the destination being predominantly within the EU or Europe. According to that report, companies in Germany, in Spain, and in Norway have been implicated. In Germany, for example, they noted that companies like Costa Marine Protein have been one of the biggest traders or benefiters of fish meal product or fish oil from West Africa. In Spain, they cited Improquisa, Industrias, Apo-Skretin, España. In Greece, they listed Nosyld Mel Innovation. I mean, you have to excuse my pronunciation of these names because obviously I'm not from those countries. I do not speak the language. So apologies if I'm butchering the names, but I'm going to link the report or the reports that I've cited here so that you can also go and check and verify yourself. In France, the company Olivier has been listed. In Norway, we have GC Rieba, Ewos, Stroke, Cargill, Skretten, and Movi. In Denmark, there is ENNF, Man Terminals, 999, FF Skagen, Pelagia, and Biomar. And these are companies that are benefiting from fish being taken from humans to feed fish so that the fish can grow and then feed human. And also, of course, for fish oil to meet the fish oil demand in the EU and in Norway. And so, whilst the activities of the fish meal industries, many of which are linked to Chinese owners, can be unsustainable. For example, in the Gambia, we've seen examples of how some of this company actually release their products, you know, the pollution, the liquids from their production directly into the ocean, undermining ocean's health and physiological health for the people that live in those areas. But the activities of these companies have been made possible due to the high demand. And so you could say an argument can actually be made that if the demand was so low, the activities of these companies would become less profitable, that they would not see the sense in continuing to operate. But because there is so much high demand, especially from companies in Europe, as I've cited, and you can read this report to really see the statistics, these companies and the unsustainable practices would continue. I mean, don't get me wrong. At the end of the day, as sovereign nations, it is responsibility of coastal states and small island developing states on the African continent to ensure that things are done right in their countries. But we still do know that a lot of these countries have not been able to do it because of different factors, including weak fisheries governance or weak law enforcement, or the fact that their laws are not even updated. Some of them are still operating with laws that are more than 20 years old and therefore does not reflect the realities of today. A lot of them also cannot afford to maybe verify what's happening at sea. I mean, we've seen a lot of improvement, especially in Western Central Africa, and the role that technology is playing in helping law enforcement officers see what is happening at sea. But it has also allowed us to see that there is much bigger gap. Now they can see, but they cannot interdict. Like, they cannot go and verify because they don't have the asset like the vessels. And so we know that this is a major challenge for countries on the continent. And therefore, the focus of this reflection is not necessarily on them and how they are failing. Rather, the focus is on what I have seen as a politicization of unsustainable fisheries practices on the African continent, wherein a lot of the reports always focus on the activities of China and much less on how the activities of some of the vessels from entities like the European Union and other EU countries like Norway is equally as damaging. And it is even more, not upsetting, but it feels more morally wrong, because the EU understands the need to get things right. They have policies. I've talked about their common fisheries policies. And I've also sort of reflected on the Sustainable Fisheries Partnership Agreement, which is something that is named in that way to reflect that sustainability is at the core of their activities with third countries, such as those on the African continent. I've also talked about the carding system. So it's like, you know the right things to do, yet your vessels are literally doing the same thing as the so-called Chinese, and yet your vessels are sometimes even defended, or the activities of your vessels are defended by your agencies. Like I talked about this briefly, the response of DG Mare when they were presented with evidence of illegal activities by select Italian vessels off Sierra Leone waters. What am I trying to achieve with this reflection? What I'm trying to achieve with this is that I hope that our policymakers and policy implementers on the African continent, our lawmakers, our law enforcement agencies, are actually quite open-minded when it comes to doing their job. That they do not think, oh, because this vessel is from the EU, they will not do wrong. And because this vessel is from China, oh gosh, this is likely to be a potential illegal vessel. I hope they are doing their work in a transparent way, and in a way that all vessels operating in the waters are potentially criminal vessels until they are proven otherwise. Because that makes for a more effective way of ensuring sustainable exploitation of our common resources, and ensuring also that, as the African Union have noted, that the ocean is the renaissance for Africa's development, that the ocean resources actually plays a significant part in the sustainable development of the African peoples. Thank you so much for listening to my reflections. I welcome any questions or comments that you might have. And of course, if there's any material you would want to point me to demystify any of the claims that I've made, I would absolutely welcome it. Thank you, and have a great day and month ahead.